Hello and welcome to the High Performance Property Investment Podcast. I am your host, Jacob Field. Property investor for almost 20 years, former owner and publisher of Australian Property Investor magazine and founder of White House Advisory. Episode 3. Today I'm going to be taking you through the 10 concepts you need to understand to invest or not to invest in 2022 and beyond. Now, this is, you know, information that we need to understand in this current environment. But really, let's take a step back. There is always change. There are always elements that, you know, are impacting us as property investors. So even though interest rates are creeping upwards, it's not unlike most other times in property investment where we do have factors that are changing. I'm going to be taking you through today the reasons why smart money is going to pile into Australian residential real estate. This is going to be a balance for you, but I am a property bull. I'm a property investor, a property bull, but this is going to be a balance for you. The thesis here is why the rich will be getting richer through property investment, and those that own property with debt will get a double whammy of gains. Now, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? So let's really pick that apart. Firstly, I'm going to talk through the relationship. Now, I do have a chart here in front of me that I am referring to. If you would like to take a deeper dive into this information in a visual format, then jump over to our YouTube channel at Ripe House Advisory over on YouTube, and we will be releasing this content in a visual format if you so desire. But this chart, it's a really interesting one where it is tracking annual house price movement. So in percentage terms, not actual value, but percentage terms, going back to 1901, right? And it's obviously jumping all over the place. We've had some years where we've had, you know, almost negative 20% across the whole country. But obviously, with compounding growth, it is quite consistently positive growth that has occurred over this time. So this is tracking the annual house price percentage movement against inflation. And it is a very positive correlation. So when prices have gone up, inflation has been going up. When prices are, you know, price growth has been high, inflation has been high. And the inverse is true also. When we've had periods of negative inflation or low inflation, price growth has been subdued. There's a very positive correlation between inflation, high inflation, and high percentage price growth. And it surprises a lot of people. So we need to understand that. To begin, the first concept I wanted to discuss today is a concept of negative real interest rates. And I'm going to try my best to explain it for us all to understand. But really, it comes down to the concept that at the moment, inflation is a high inflation period. Cash is trash. Having dollars in the bank is like, it evaporating before your eyes. You know, if you've got money in the bank, it's potentially devaluing by 8% this year. That is high inflation. The RBA generally typically like to keep inflation between 1 and 3%. At the moment, it is way outside of that range, and we are taking drastic action. Those actions are increasing interest rates. At the moment, interest rates are still under 1%. The variable interest rate that you will actually pay is potentially 4%. Right, that's very low, emergency low interest rates still over the longer term in Australia. Now, the concept of negative real interest rates, it applies to conditions like we see today. Interest rates are less than the inflation rate. Okay, so your debt, when you have, you know, the cost of that debt with a bank, you're paying the cost of that debt back to the bank is interest. And when the interest payable is less then the value of that debt devaluing, you're actually profiting by holding the loan, right? And that is an environment called negative real interest rates. When inflation is greater than the interest you're paying back to the bank. And smart money understands this concept because they understand that the debt itself then becomes an investment. And if you buy safe haven assets with that leverage, you can potentially get a double whammy effect where the asset's intrinsic value increases. And we have to use the words intrinsic value in high inflation environments because it's not just increases in value, but when the intrinsic value of an asset increases and we have negative real interest rates, you're potentially profiting through the debt and you're profiting through capital growth on that asset. And this is a double whammy that sophisticated investors understand. And this is why we typically see property price growth in times of high inflation. And then therefore, because you know the RBA increases interest rates with inflation to put a handbrake on things, you also see high capital growth with high interest rate environments, which is very counterintuitive for us Australians to think of things in that way, but there is very compelling evidence going back over 120 years of this occurring time and time again. Now, the second concept I want to cover is state and city level property cycles. So, you know, you tune into the Today Show this morning. I have to admit, I do tune into that from time to time. You read, you know, Australian Financial Review, The Australian, all of these publications, and they're talking property prices going backwards. What they don't talk to you about is where and by how much and are they really going backwards? So I refer to an article, it's from the Australian Financial Review dated May the 2nd. Property price falls to accelerate. Sydney drops for the third month. When you dig into this article further, they refer to research from CoreLogic. And in that research, in the same statistics that they quote, yes, Sydney did go back 0.2%, so a very, very, very slight retraction. But in the same month, Adelaide went ahead 1.9% as a city, which is over 20% per annum. Extremely strong capital growth in the same month that Sydney went slightly backwards. This push and pull, the states pushing and pulling, the capital cities pushing and pulling against each other is very normal. So all of this interest rate talk and doom and gloom, the media headlines, you've got to look at why they're doing this. And they are selling clicks. They are selling eyeballs on their articles. The more eyeballs, the more money they get from advertisers. We have to smarten up our act and dig down into things and look at their motives. Because in this same month, Adelaide went ahead 1.9%. Brisbane went ahead 1.7%. Canberra went ahead 1.3%. This is all extremely high capital growth on a monthly basis. And they focus on the one small little element there, which is Sydney has gone backwards 0.2%. You know, a minuscule amount in the big scheme of things compared to the other capitals. So we have to understand that there is always opportunity to be had. It is our job as investors to go and find that opportunity. Remember when I accumulated my portfolio, we were going through times like the GFC, okay? This is global doom and gloom. You know, is it going to be a global financial meltdown? And the deals, when you have the right numbers that you need to achieve from a property, it is always a good time to buy that deal when your minimum requirement is met. And that's what we've got to focus on as investors, finding those deals where they are just too good, the numbers stack up too well that we cannot refuse to buy them, even when there are these types of negative sentiments or news storylines, if you agree with them or you disagree. Now, the third point that I wanted to make is around when we're looking for locations, we've got this, you know, we've got to consider property investment as a science. There's certain components to it that are art, you know, the subjectivity of, you know, our emotion and what we like to live in and applying that to a property investment. But really fundamentally in finding these areas, not Sydney at the moment, but finding areas right now that are really about to set and boom and to really rocket off, we have to look at the data, we have to look at the analytics. And this is no different to how people have done it, you know, in a far more advanced and traditional fashion in equities, in stock markets. This is very evolved and property is far behind in this regard. But at a high level, when you look at equities markets, our stock traders, hedge funds, etc., they chase yield and volume. And that is how they determine their entry and exit points into a stock. It's called technical analysis. We apply the same concepts to property investment, and we call this private advisory. And in private advisory, the two big components that we look for, you know, really simplifying things here, are yield and volume. When we see these buying signals existing, you know, think of the goalposts, you know, the stars are aligning. When we find those, we have the comfort and the confidence to execute and to buy. And at the moment, I can say right now, there are many areas where those stars are aligning right now outside of what's going on in terms of interest rates and doom and gloom. These are areas where the yield is going through the roof. There is extremely low vacancy rates and there's, you know, no one can build new homes. You've got a pile up of people wanting to rent properties just to get to the employment that is moving towards an area. You're seeing rents going through the roof, $10 a week, week after week after week, and yields are being pushed through the roof. It's not long until renters look at each other and go, honey, I'm not paying $500 a week to rent in this. I'm going to go and have a chat to the bank and maybe pay $380, $400, you know, with increased interest rates, $420, $430 a week in repayments. Guess what? It's still cheaper to buy than rent in these locations. So that's how yield, you know, rental pressure can move to the buy side pressure. And when you see that occurring on volume, if only a couple of people are doing it, it's not a signal that we listen to. When the masses are moving from the rent to the buy side, so the yield signal is confirmed on volume, that is when we as private advisory really start to take notice. And I can tell you right now, there are those opportunities right now in the market when you know how to go and find them. I'm going to sort of skip through, you know, without reiterating that concept, because it does probably need to be a visual conversation. So I do once again mention, jump over onto the YouTube channel and we will be releasing this in a visual format for you to digest. But there still is a lot of value from this podcast episode today, because I am elaborating on some, you know, more, or I guess, less tangible concepts, some of the softer elements that we need to understand. Now, the next concept I want to introduce you to is a phrase that I have coined called a lipstick property. Okay, a lipstick property. Well, firstly, I'll just describe the concept of, you know, we're going through a period of doom and gloom, right? People might be negative, they might be pessimistic. And I can tell you now, the sentiment actually is quite positive, because we have record, almost record low unemployment and still a queue of people wanting of jobs that we can't find people to work in. So we've got extremely healthy employment landscape in Australia at the moment. So there really isn't this sentiment of doom and gloom. It's the media that's feeding this. This is a dialogue. But the concept of a lipstick property, you know, when people are feeling doom and gloom, they want cheering up. What's something that is cheap that they can go away and it can make them feel better about themselves quickly? And it's going out and buying a tube of lippy. Right? It might cost 10 bucks. They can go down at the local chemist. They can go into the mirror and they can put the lippy on and it makes them feel $1 million. This is the concept of a lipstick property. In these periods, we have to look at what are potentially the most resilient types of investments, the recession-proof investments that can really set ourselves up to benefit through from this time. Remember, this type of doom and gloom, when others are fearful, potentially offers us opportunity, right? It's a very well-known investment quote. We have to be able to be counterintuitive, operate against the masses, and set ourselves up now to really benefit through the next upswing. And lipstick properties are where it's at, $450,000 or below. Remember, affordable locations with very broad rent and buy-side demand. And we want very diverse, wide-appealing properties. Good bones, everyday family homes. They can be share homes. They can be retirees. They can be young families all using the same dwelling. We want to buy in established areas that are very affordable. These can be in our capital cities. They can be in key regional centres. Really important concept. So we can control exactly where we are investing and exactly the right types of properties to set ourselves up to benefit through this time. Higher yielding investments. So we are protected from some of the, you know, the cash flow burden by increased interest rates. This all fits together. And this is where the buy side pressure will be occurring. So the next concept I wanted to talk about would be actual value changes versus the changes in median value. So even when we go back to that article where they talked about Sydney property prices going down 0.2% it was dated on the early May, so it must have been from the month before, they were talking about the median price. And we did an investigation with Eric here, our head of data science, and he's also a master's of actuarial science, a very highly educated and qualified individual. We did a deep dive of the actual properties that sold in Sydney in May. We had that data as a research company and as an advisory company, and we were trying to determine, was the decrease in median prices a result of the actual properties devaluing, or was it a result of the top end of the market, or the activity, the number of sales at the top end of the market slowing down? And we determined that it was the latter. It was a result of the top end of the market slowing down. And what was the most key part of evidence that helped us to make that decision? Well, we looked at how many properties sold in May in the Greater Sydney area for less than they were originally purchased for. And I'll be interested to hear your thoughts around how many you might have thought. And so think of it in your mind now. Do you think it might have been 100 or 1,000? Just letting you know, there was about 4,000 sales in Sydney area in that month. Have a guess in your mind now how many properties you think sold for less than the previous sale price. Now, I'm going to tell you the answer. It was one property. There was literally one property that sold in May 2022 for less than the previous sold date, which was in this case June in 2020. So there was one property seller in the whole month for a large multi-million person city that got less than their previous purchase price. And when you look at the property, it was an off-the-plan property in Canley Vale, five-bedroom, three-bathroom, way at the end of the spectrum, and there's a lot of supply going into that area. So it was a bit of it was probably a dud. Okay, it was the exception and not the rule. So it's the top end of the market slowing down, and that's to be expected, because in every property cycle that I have seen personally, and a lot of the data that we have unpacked suggests that it's the top end of the market that starts a boom, especially in Sydney, and it's also the top end of the market that starts a slowdown in the market. And it's not necessarily a correction. It's a lowering of the median through less activity at the top end of the market, right? It's pretty simple facts. And so really, we have to digest and go one layer deeper into what we hear and what we see in the media, because even that change in median price is not really a change in the actual values of the properties. So I've talked there about what caused the shift and the change in median prices. I want to talk now around point number 7. The last time Sydney boomed. Now, if we look at the price growth over Sydney over time, Sydney had a really nice boom from about 2012, 2013 through to 2016, 2017. When Sydney boomed, through that period, interest rates were around 2 to 3% higher than where they are now. So think about that for a moment. People can obviously afford to pay more and more and more and more for properties and cause a very strong upswing in property prices, even when they're paying 2 to 3% higher interest rates than they are as recently as a couple of months ago. So we have to remember and remind ourselves that we are at emergency low interest rates, and we still are, even though they've been increased 0.75% in the last couple of months. And Sydney is capable of booming even with interest rates 2 or 3% higher than where they are now. And that's not to mention when it boomed back in the early 2000s, when interest rates were almost 4 or 5% higher than where they are now. Right, so we really have to put this into context. Point number 8, and I have touched on this quickly already, it is always the right time to buy the right deal. Do you think when you know how to do something and you get very strong results from doing it, you would be thrown around by a market and just sit on your hands, put your money and your cash in the bank and have it devaluing in front of your eyes? When you know how and you can find a very good caliber of deal, it is always the right time to buy it. And what do I classify as a good deal? I want to buy strongly under market value. I want to be able to uplift that property through renovations, cosmetic renovations, or other ways of adding value. That's a shortcut. Okay, it's a profit-making exercise. It's like you're buying a business and you're profiting through that process. I want to buy properties that generate strong cash flow. I don't want to look at the tax savings of an asset and forego making $1 just to save 30 cents in my taxes. I want to make the dollar in my cash flows, and then there are, you know, other depreciation benefits associated with established dwellings as well. So I want to be able to have good, strong cash flows from these assets, and I want to make money through high performance capital growth. And that's around taking that hedge fund, that private advisory approach to finding these growth locations. And when you can find deals that make you money in four ways, I call them push properties. It is always a good time to buy, because the very act of buying them generates you net worth, generates you cash flow in your pockets. Element number nine, the labor help to buy scheme. This is going to, for more details, there's a lot of media articles and things that have covered this in a lot of detail, but it is essentially a very bullish, very pro-property scheme by Labor, who have now been elected to government, that will put a tremendous amount of positive upwards price pressure on affordable housing across the country. Remember, it's not just the people that access this scheme to buy properties. These people are paying more to buy properties. It's pushing up property prices for everybody. Anthony Albanese is a property investor himself. Okay? Governments in Australia have traditionally stimulated the economy through very pro-property policy. And this is the next one in line. And expect this to have a dramatic positive impact on property prices in that affordable lipstick property range, $450,000 and below. Element number 10, I'm going to finish up on this note. This is something I have touched on, but I purchased most of my properties along with Anna during the global financial crisis in the mid to late 2000s. You have got to act when others are fearful. You want to be a wolf and not a sheep. When investors, they are in the market now. We are seeing extremely high investor activity. I actually recently spoke to a mortgage broker who said the investor activity for him is extreme. It is off the charts. And that might be a cause of people wanting to get a better rate and move lenders. But there are a lot of very sophisticated investors out there looking at safe haven assets because they understand these concepts I've talked about today. If you would like to know the types of properties that I am currently buying in this environment, right as of today, for friends and family, I have recorded a free 25-minute explainer video to cover that exact topic. You could be watching it in the next 30 seconds. Head over to wealth.ripehouseadvisory, that is R-I-P-E, houseadvisory.com.au/training, now dash, registration. So that is training-registration. You'll be able to register your details and watch that discovery video in the next few seconds. Look forward to talking to you soon.